My pleasure. This was my grandmother's, or one of my grandmother's favorite songs that I used to hear on Sunday morning when I'd go stay with her over the weekend. So always a pleasure to do something. It's a nice memory. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation, so won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. So won't you tell me where could I go but to the Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear, and comfort I get from God's own word. But yet, when I face that chilling hand of death, won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? A refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save us in the end. So won't you tell me where could I go but to the Where can we go but to the Lord? Thank you.
As you notice, Brandon's not with us today, and so it's a little different this morning. And doing announcements and prayer time, and I love to do the prayer time as well. Certainly want to do today as anyway, but if you would just pray for him as he's away. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. And we've titled this Pressing On Even Though Ripped Off. And, you know, I think one of the things we need to learn in life is that as we live in a world that's marred by sin. And with that said, there's going to be times where we get taken advantage of, that we're going to be mistreated. It doesn't have anything to do with color or race or nationality. It's going to happen in this world we live in. You know, as I was reading and studying, it kind of laughed as I read. One of the commentators said, maybe you've bought a car at some point from this slick-suited salesman. Of course, they don't wear many suits. It was an older commentary. but somebody that kind of fed you a line about how awesome this car was, and you get it, and then a couple days later you begin to realize, I bought a lemon. And you kind of get upset, but you move on and you get past it. But that's not really persecution. Any of us and every one of us can face that and maybe have faced that. And as he was saying that, I thought about having, in the area that we're studying about there in modern Turkey and Central Asia, and having lived in that part of the world, is if you've ever been to one of the bazaars there, the guys that work at those bazaars would make the average car salesman blush. And so the things they say and the things they'll do to sell their wares, and you know, and they'll tell you it's the best, it's better than Walmart, better than Kmart, and all these things that you hear, you know. And so things that kind of make you laugh, but to get your attention, they draw you in. And so, you know, when we think about that, though, again, if we get taken on an item or something like that, and I've shared with you before, I bought a camper top years ago from a truck because gas prices were going high, and Garrett and I were hunting together, and it was too expensive to drive down on Friday and drive back again on Saturday and do those things. And so I said, well, if we get a camper top, we can pitch a tent there and camp in the camper, and we can stay there on the property, and we'll just hunt the next morning, you know. And I checked with the guy, and I said, you sure it'll fit my truck? Yeah, it'll fit your truck. And I didn't have the money to pay cash. I made payments to him, paid for it, and so proud to go get it, and went to load it on there, and I had some guys go with me to help me load it on there, and it wouldn't fit. It was too big. And so I took that, though, rather than saying, hey, you cheated me, and this man didn't have a lot of money. He had spent the money, and so I thought, that's a lesson learned. I should have measured a little better, should have checked it myself. And so I took it, and I traded it, though, and I found one that would work. So sometimes you make lemonade out of lemons. But when we're talking about persecution, it's something that's very personal. It's something that some of us have experienced, and maybe others haven't. But as we talk about today and what we're facing here, they're being persecuted because of their faith. We're hearing a lot about those being persecuted because of their skin color. And so as we think about that, persecution comes in all forms. But the thing about persecution is still real. And it's personal, too, when it comes against you. You know, as we're seeing what Peter's challenged us here, he has challenged us that we are living stones in the previous sermon, the previous section of Scripture, and that we're all part of the spiritual house that God is building up. You know, when we talk about that, he doesn't talk about race, nationality, none of those things. He says everybody that has turned to Christ and been saved, God is using you, and you have a special purpose for you, and you're precious in his sight. And so with that, every one of us have been challenged that we're to live lives that are separate and holy, lives that are committed to the Lord, and that are different from those in the world. And so as we come to this section of Scripture today, the first section, we want to see that we do this and the things that we do for the Lord's sake, first of all, and then for our sake. It says in verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or as governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, we're told in a couple other sections of Scripture by Paul and others that we are to submit to the government that is placed over us. And yet, like right now, we live in a time in our country that there are anarchists and those others that are trying to uproot and do away with not only the government as we understand it, but maybe even to tear this nation apart. And so what we need to understand is, as Peter was writing this, he was facing persecution from Nero. And he's writing about whether a leader is a good leader, is a godly leader, or if they're not a good leader, a godly leader. We are to submit to the authorities that are over us. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about the president and going on about the president. And I heard in the past administration, the administration before that. Look, when you're a leader, you're going to have some people that support you, and you're going to have some that are against you always. But you know, the thing about it, when I was born and raised as a child, is I was always taught that you respect the office even if it's hard to respect the person who's holding that office. And that is something that this generation obviously has missed. because many don't have fathers in their homes. Many are not godly homes. And they're not focused on this nation so much either. It's about personal rights. And let me just say this. Is when the New Testament makes it very clear that it's kind of hard to accept the privileges of the state that you live in or the nation that you live in and yet not be responsible for the also to honor the rights too of the law and to do those things in a way to honor God, especially as a Christian. And so as we're looking at the scriptures today, Peter is saying, submit yourselves to every ordinance or every institution of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or for to governors as those who were sent by him to punish evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. You know, what he's beginning to tell us is on every level of government, there are those that are placed above us. And it starts really with the governor, but he's started with the extreme example of kings or presidents as we have today, but those that are in leadership. And you know, what Peter's really going back to here and reminding all of us is he should have started, and I think when he used king here, you could have used a capital K instead of a little k, because he should have said to King Jesus first, is submit to King Jesus, and you won't have a problem submitting to the governors, you won't have a problem submitting to the earthly kings, because you understand that good or bad, God has allowed them to be placed there. It's not by chance they're there, but they are there. In many cases, when there's a good king or a good president, it's because the people have been trying to walk with God, and it's a blessing of God. But when there's a bad king, it's a lot of times where we read even scripture where they have been disobedient to God, and it's a form of chastising or discipline that they would then turn back to God. And I'll tell you, if we don't understand right now, we need to turn to God. You've not had the news on, you've had your head buried in the sand. We really need to turn to God and call upon him to watch over our homes, to watch over our cities, to watch over our nation and the state that we live in. And we're very blessed with the governor we have. A lot of people may or may not like him. But you know, when you look around the nation, is he never told us that as churches we had to stop meeting. You know, we looked at it when he said we didn't meet in groups of no more than 100. I thought, well, we can do that. Went to 50, we might could do that. When it went to 10 and 3, and he's talking about the society in general, is to not be gathering large groups. It's like, okay, the reason they're asking us to close is for the personal protection and safety of all people. Not because they don't want us to come and worship. But when governors continue today to keep churches shut down and allow abortion clinics and other places to be open, that's a totally different picture. And see, we're very blessed where we live in South Carolina. We don't have that problem, because our governor is a Christian. He believes that everyone should have the right to go and worship, and he has made that available for everybody as well throughout all of this. It's maybe been a little bit different. I know some people in some churches are complaining, having to come in and be seated and having to wear masks and having to social distance and these things. But you know what, folks? It's all for our protection. You know, we were building this building out here. You know, there are certain codes from the state and from the county and from the fire marshal and all those that we have to abide by just like everybody else. Those codes or those statutes are not put there to punish or persecute churches. They're there to protect people, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. And so for us as Christians, we need to obey those laws, and we need to be not complaining or whining and going on about those things. We need to just adhere to it. And we're not caving in to government. You know, you hear people talking about separation of church and state. And there needs to be a separation in some points. When it comes to the point they tell us we cannot worship, we're going to part ways. But as long as there's that opportunity that we can worship, we're going to abide by the law. And we're going to do what they ask us to do. And so that's what Peter is challenging us to do here, because when people face persecution, typically there's three knee-jerk reactions that happen. First, we may adopt an aggressive pattern of blaming others, focusing on the person who did us wrong and doing whatever it takes for revenge. You know, that's not a Christian attitude. It's not a Christian response. Second, we may embrace a passive pattern of feeling sorry for ourselves, becoming absorbed in self-pity and whining constantly about our situation. Happens a lot. Third, we may slip into a holding pattern of postponing feelings and placing our emotions on the back burner and seething beneath a calm surface. In other words, I'm not letting you know on the outside, but I'm really fired up mad at you. But I'm going to just do the pleasant Southern thing is, well, Lord bless you and all those things. And you know, and all the things we do as Southerners a lot of times to not just tell someone, listen, we have a problem. We need to work through. Now, I know with persecution, a lot of times, too, there's a matter of fear because someone's being bullied. Someone's being pushed in a way because there's a number of people or a person large enough that a person's afraid of. I grew up during integration. I remember seeing buses being flipped over and those things happening. It happens. And when that happens, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're on that bus, you're afraid for your life. And so when that happens, people respond in different ways. But you know, the thing we need to look at as Christians is we need to go to the Lord. And we need to understand that when we do certain things, that we cause things to come upon us, and then we take it and we bear it, that's not saying a whole lot. But you know, when we're doing good and we're honoring the Lord, and then things happen to us and against us because of our stance for the Lord, our work for the Lord and serving the Lord, doing good things, is that when that happens, he says, take it, bear it. The Lord will help you do so, and you'll do it for the Lord's sake, first of all, that he might be glorified through that. As we look at verse 14, he says that the governors are as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. You know, we live in a time where it seems like those who commit evil are praised and those who do good are vilified. But we're not here to please men. We're here to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter's reminding them as what he's reminding us today, is that we're to be servants of the Most High God, that we're to serve our King, and that when we do that, we respect those and we honor those that are placed in authority over us. He says in the next verse, in verse 15, he says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, when I read that, I think about the story I saw yesterday of a young African teenager that just graduated this year. Some of you may have saw this on the news, is that, you know, for those that have people graduate this year or trying to get married or any of those things, this has been a horrible year for all those things to happen because you just couldn't gather together and do things you normally do, all of that. But when the protesting and the looting and all those things happened and there was the streets were filthy, he cleaned his street and worked all night long from 2 in the morning out there cleaning and picking up trash and everything. And it was showing how, even by the world, that he was rewarded in the sense that someone, when they heard about this, gave him a car and others gave him money towards his college and things like that. He didn't do it for that reason. But you see, what he did was he silenced a lot of those who were doing things that were not lawful, that were not submitting to the authority above them, that were not being correct for honoring the Lord. And so as he did that, he spent one night doing something just menial that most people would not even consider doing, and the Lord blessed him in a way that he didn't even expect, wasn't even looking for. And what he's saying here is that we're to do good things to silence those who are evil. You know, it's easy to love someone when they love you. It's easy to love someone, the Lord said, when they're like you. But how about when they're not like you? Or how about when they offend you or they harm you? Is that you turn the other cheek and you love them in Christ? Now, that's not always easy. Our flesh says, I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to lash back out at you. But let me just say this, we're not called to live in the flesh. We're called to live in the Spirit and to obey the Word and to follow God. And here he's challenging us is to do good things to silence those who do evil. You know, one of the best things you can do for those in office is people say, well, we're going to vote them out. Very low numbers of people show up to vote, I can tell you that. I hear all that talk and all that complaining. But a lot of people don't even show up to vote. How about we pray for them? How about we pray for them every day that if they're not a follower of Christ, that they would have a heart change through meeting the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledging him as Lord and Savior and giving their lives to him? How about we pray for people that they're in relationships with that serve right alongside them? Because there are many Christians that serve in all levels of government. How about that that influence would affect them in a way where they then would be changed because of that witness and testimony of a faithful follower of Christ? How about that we write letters and just let them know that we're praying for them and encourage them to do the right thing? You know, it's easy to complain and be ugly, but as Christians, we're not supposed to do that. We should be taking the high road on this, and we should be following the Word of God, and we should be those who are encouragers, even with those that we have issues with or differences with. He says, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. You know, a lot of times it's like, well, I have the freedom in Christ, I can do this and I can do that. Well, we studied a few weeks ago in our Sunday school lesson, just because you have a right to do something doesn't make it right to do that. And if it's for vice, which when you read vice, I mean, it's really talking about something that's for not good, is that we don't do things that will be harmful and detrimental to the name and the sake of Christ and the kingdom of God. And remember, we're ambassadors, so everything that we say and everything we type on a computer, on a phone, on social media, represents our Lord and Savior. It represents this church. And so I strongly encourage you to pray before you type. Because if you begin to meet with the Lord and read the Word and pray, you have less tendency to pop off in the flesh and say things that maybe you even regret later. And so with that, we would be mindful to do the things that honor the Lord as bondservants of God. Notice what he says in verse 17. He says, honor all people. He doesn't say just honor those who are Christians. He doesn't say honor those that look like you, or walk like you, or talk like you. He says honor all people. And one thing my dad taught me when I was growing up was, you always show respect to others. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, red, yellow, black, or white. It don't matter. But you respect them. Because you see, they're all created in the image of God, all of us. And Christ died for all to have the opportunity to be reconciled to God. For whosoever will applies to everybody. He says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Love your fellow Christians. But I think when he says honor all people too, he could have just said love everyone. Fear God. Folks, if I can tell you, there's one thing that's missing in America today is that there is no fear of God and the retribution that's going to come one day. We all kneel before him and acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For some, it's going to be too late. But I want to say too, for all of us, we're going to face a judgment for the things we've said, the things we've done, things we didn't say, things we didn't do. And so with that, we need to fear God. But also, we need to honor the king. And what he's saying there is honor those who are in leadership. You know, there's times there have been people in office that I didn't have respect for as an individual, but I had respect for the office, and I still prayed for them. I still supported them in every way I could, unless they went contrary to the teaching of God's word. But I didn't go out in the streets and riot and loot and cause problems. I tried to remain constant as a follower of God to remember to pray for them and to lift them up. But you know, we live in a time today that many are not in church. So when you see the things happening in the streets, folks, it's easy to condemn. It's easy to try to criticize and go over those things. How many times have we also gone to people to witness to them too, to try to tell them about Jesus and to try to encourage them to turn to Christ, to walk with him? This first section is talking about what we do for the Lord's sake, to honor his name, to be servants of the kingdom, and to lift up the name of Jesus, to point others to him. This second section really describes how we can draw closer for our sake in doing so. Now, he talks about something here in the beginning of verse 18 that is a very unpopular subject when he talks about servants or slaves. But he's just said that we're to be bond servants of God. You know what he's saying? We're to be servants or slaves of God. If he purchased us, if he owns us, if he bought us, then he owns us. That's one aspect of looking at what God did at Calvary. But when we look at this, it says, as servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you are do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. You know, what he's beginning to say here is, listen, it doesn't matter if you serve a godly leader in your workplace, in your government that we submit to, and what we do, we surrender to them. It says with fear. And that fear is not just every day to walk in fear that we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be beaten, these things are going to happen. What it is a fear of God first. He's reminding us that is the one that we fear most. But with that we can go in there and we can handle this situation, even with those that we have problems with, if we will trust God and fear him, and then we will continue to be willing to honor him in our lives. And so as he is unfolding this, he says, not only those who do good and gentle, but also the harsh. He says, commendable if we do so. What he's saying is the Lord will honor this. You know, it's one thing if we bring it on ourselves. I had a friend, we were living in Central Asia, and he said, I've been persecuted for the Lord's sake. And I said, oh yeah, I mean, we were living in a Muslim country. And I said, what did you do? He said, well, I went to a mosque on a Friday and I was hollering to them, preaching from a high place there and telling them, you need to turn away from this mosque. You need to repent and turn to God. And you need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And they beat the tar out of him. What did you expect when you went to the steps of the mosque to do this? That's not necessarily being beaten for Jesus' sake. He says, be harmless and wise. And he wasn't doing either one. But you know, a lot of times people do this for attention, for themselves. But what Peter is saying is, listen, if you take a beating because you did something like that and you deserve it, it's kind of like you got what you needed, got what you asked for. He's not condoning beatings, but he's basically saying you asked for it, you got it. But what he's saying is, when you're doing good things and you're honoring God, and then you're beaten for Christ's sake, remember what Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, and you will be persecuted for my name's sake. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. We live in a time today where as Christians, especially in America, is where we seem to have this little weird theology going around. It's like, you know, well, I shouldn't have to suffer for Jesus. It's almost like, you know, I shouldn't have to suffer at all. And a lot of it is the affluence we have, the opportunities we have, the freedom we have. And so everything that happens is like, well, I'm being persecuted. I deal with that a lot with teens in youth groups. I've been persecuted for my faith. And you find out, no, they said things or did things they shouldn't have said or done. And so, you know, it's not always that that's the case, but it's one of those things that he's telling us that we need to be willing to suffer for the Lord. He says, when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. I remember there was a gentleman who had come to faith in Christ there. We met when we were living in Central Asia, that he was excited for his faith and the salvation he had received. And he went back to the workplace where he worked, and he was telling people about Jesus. And he was just privately witnessing to different ones. And so they began to go to the supervisor and complain about him, until one day a man got in a fight with him there and jumped on him there and where he worked. And he was fired. Now, folks, he wasn't out there trying to stand on a street corner in front of a mosque. He was in his everyday life trying to witness for Christ. He wasn't doing it in front of everybody. He was doing it privately. But he was beaten and then fired from his job because of it. That is persecution. And he says, when you do these good things, but he didn't, you know what he did? He didn't flail back at the man. He didn't try to bring accusations against the man or anything. He just went and found another job. Because he knew he had very little chance for one, but the other thing was, nothing about trying to whine and complain was going to bring honor to God, even though he's wrongly treated because of it. And so he's saying, listen, these good things you do in the name of Christ, if you're beaten for that, or you suffer for that, or you're persecuted for that, that the Lord will bless you for it as well. In verse 21 through 23, it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And so he's using Jesus as the example for all of us, for our lives. His life is example for us. Now, we're not saved by the example. We're saved by faith in Christ. But then once we're saved, we're to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and to do as he did. And when he was beaten, he did not revile them. When he was mistreated, he did not lash out at them. You know, he didn't even speak up in some cases. And when he did, he didn't say things like, Lord, curse them. He said, bless them, Father, for they do not know what they do. And so we need to follow the example of Jesus. But then also in verse 24, he says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now he's quoting here from Isaiah 52 and 53. And as he's quoting this, what he's reminding us is, listen, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, went to the cross and died for our sins and was placed in a tomb and rose again on the third day. And he took that beating. He bore our sins there on the cross for us, that we might have the opportunity to be reconciled to a holy God, that we might be saved. And that he was a substitute to be offered up for our sin as a sacrificial lamb. And in verse 25 says, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You know, as I read that in closing, that word overseer is episkopos in the Greek. It basically means bishop or overseer. And what he's saying is that he oversees our lives, everything of our lives. There's nothing about us that he does not know in what we say or what we do. But with that, as he oversees our lives, if we follow his example, when we are persecuted for his name's sake, he will bless us and he will be with us, and we will glorify him as we do so. But also, when we turn and we lash out in the flesh, verbally or physically, as we do that, we dishonor the name of our King. Is we need to follow his example and love people and honor people and fear God and serve him. And we need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ around the community to do the same thing, to love the Lord, to honor him, and to fear him, and to love people as Christ loves us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to close of our service today, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you challenge each one of us, Lord, to examine our lives. And Lord, understanding that we often fall short each and every day. And Lord, that with that, Lord, we would humble ourselves. We'd ask for forgiveness, Lord, in those areas where we've fallen short and where sin has entered in. And Lord, that you would forgive us of our sin. But Lord, also you'd restore us in that relationship with you, Lord, and that we would follow that example of a Savior who was beaten and bruised, Lord, for our sin, for our iniquity, who went to the cross as a sacrificial lamb and died for our sin. And Lord, you purchased us there at Calvary through your shed blood. And Lord, we just pray for more to come to know you, Lord, to come to faith in you, Lord, and it happens through the witness and testimony of faithful saints. But with that, Lord, there's going to come persecution if we're faithful to do that. But not to be afraid, Lord, but to honor you and to fear you and to worship you with our lips as well as our lives, Lord, but to proclaim the message of the gospel, that there might be hope for reconciliation in this cruel world that we live in today. And Lord, that lives will be changed, our cities will be changed, our nation will be changed. Lord, this world will be changed as we turn to you. That is the prayer of our heart today, Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?